Thanks, Erica. Good morning, everyone. My name is BJ Hillebush. I'm a lead pastor here, and I am excited to wrap up a series we've been working on for a couple weeks. We took a break for Father's Day, but we are in a series called Life, Money, and Hope, and it's a conclusion. We watched a couple of videos by Dave Ramsey, financial advisor and guru. And I don't know about you, if you haven't watched those videos, I encourage you to. It will change your life. It has radically changed my view of finances and been great reminders. You can find those on our website if you want to watch them for yourself. But I hope that your response to that has been to go and truly take a hard look at your finances and begin to examine, hey, what am I doing with my money and how does it go and where does it go and how can we learn and grow from this? For us, one of the things that I've noticed is that with... I wonder if I just did that. Did I do that? Maybe. No, I don't think it was me. Maybe it was. Oh, I don't know if it was me or not. All right. All right. One of the things that I've noticed is that money has a tendency to encourage my selfishness. Now, I've never owned a bunch of gold coins, and I can't imagine diving in them would actually feel good. But I've noticed that the more money I get, it seems like the more I want. Have you ever noticed that when you get like a raise or a windfall, it just kind of vanishes? And you go and you look back and you're like, how did we ever live on less than this? And it just goes away, and there's always another need or a want or a something. And the Apostle Paul warns of this when he wrote to his apprentice Timothy in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." All right, this is often misquoted, but it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." All right, the love of money... specifically, not money being the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all your problems. Sin is the root of your problems. And the love of money, greed, is one of those things. I don't know about you, but after going through the Dave Ramsey material, I immediately went home and began to examine our budget. And we've had a budget for quite some time, but it was a great reminder to go back and go, okay, we're going to look at every penny and see where it goes and begin to examine that. And during the process of that, I began to see this wrestle, right? Just as this verse talks about it, right there it says, people are walking away from the true faith in pursuit of wealth, pursuit of love of money, all right? Now, I wasn't at the point where I was walking away from my true faith, all right? But I was at the point of making maybe some decisions that were not God-honoring in the process, or at least tempted to do so. And I don't know if you had this experience, but as I began to look at my budget, I went and I looked back and I'm like, man, I have taken a lot of people out to coffee or to lunch. I should stop doing that. Oh, no. I need to save money. I need to save for retirement. All right? Or have you looked at your income and you're like, wow, I give a lot. All right? I give, 10% of my income to this and I give to these other charities. Man, if I had that, then I could, do this or I could do that. All right? The wrestle is there. The temptation is there to go and look and examine and go, well, if I am supposed to be a good steward and God wants me to manage my money well, then I probably should get those things out and make people pay for themselves. And like, hey, I'm sorry. I know you want lunch, Nick, but I'm being a good steward. So you're on your own today. Right? But maybe I'm the only one that's had that wrestle, but I doubt that I am. And I think absolutely the Bible teaches us that we should be good stewards, right? That we should manage our resources well. We should know where the money is going, but but to what end? Andy Stanley is an author and pastor, and he says this about greed. He says, greed is not a financial issue, it's a heart issue, right? And at the core, what that means is, the reality is, I have enough money to give. I have enough money and resources to be generous, right? It's not a matter of, can I move my budget around to make that happen? It's about, is my heart willing to do it? Right? And here's how I know that that's true for everyone in this room. One, because God's word says it. But two, I know that's true because all of us have been blessed with many resources. We all have resources. And the Bible says that God is ultimately our provider. So if he's our provider and his resources are endless, then it goes to say that we all have enough to be generous, right? So it's a matter of what does our heart say, not a matter of does my budget work with it. And as I begin to examine these principles that we've learned from Scripture, I've had to wrestle and continue to go, okay, I want to be a good financial manager, and I want to manage my money well, but I don't want to sacrifice generosity, and I don't want to walk away from what God is trying to teach me to do. I want to have the whole picture. And Dave Ramsey talked about, he introduced us in the first week, or last week, about the duties of a steward, this word steward that's used in the Bible, kind of an old English word. Position and duties of a steward are a person who acts as a surrogate of another or others, especially by managing property, financial affairs, and estate, etc. So a surrogate, somebody who manages with the other person's best interest in mind. That's what it is. They're supposed to manage with the other person's best interest in mind. So let's say, for example, that you've been saving for a while. You're doing pretty well. You saved up 50 grand. Give yourself a round of applause. You got 50 grand. Wait, good for you. All right? And the reason you've been saving up is because you are panicked because your daughter's growing up and you need to pay for that wedding. And weddings these days, they're expensive. Now, see, I don't have that problem. I've got four boys. All right? And you might think, hey, you really dodged a bullet. You don't have to pay for a big wedding. But that's not how it works. All right? I have four boys. It's, you know, with a daughter, it's like this, you know, killing blow of a giant financial wedding. All right? With the boys, it's more of a slow, painful death. You know, higher insurance, like holes in the wall. We finally moved into a rental house literally this week. All right? Already my deposit's gone in all the holes in the walls that have been established there. Thank you, boys. All right. So I'm distracted. I apologize. Okay. So say you save up 50 grand and you think to yourself, hey, I should invest this money, you know, and make it go further because I not only have one daughter, I've got six. Good for you. All right? You need to save up. So you go and you talk to a financial advisor and you say, hey, I want to invest this. And your financial advisor goes, great, I have the perfect idea. I have the perfect investment. You go, awesome, thanks. You hand over your 50K and then you walk away. And your financial advisor decides to invest all of your 50K into the future of VHS tapes. All right, this is Snow White. It's a classic. They have good resale value. All right, so if you don't know what a VHS tape is, then you should probably be downstairs or next door. All right? But you probably know that a VHS tape is probably not the best investment. All right? Now, your financial advisor, his job was to invest in your best interest. Has that happened? No. You don't have money. You probably lost money, actually, on his investment. All right? We are to be God's financial advisors. We're to be surrogates of his best interest. All right? He has trusted us with resources and said, okay, I want you to manage this on my behalf. And so the question is, what does God want? What is his best interest? Why is God choosing to invest money and resources with you and me? Well, the Bible answers that question. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, 10, 11, it says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank you. All right, so what is the reason that God is trusting you with resources? Right there. To produce a great harvest of generosity in you. That's why God has given you everything. And you might go, wait, well, I work hard for my money. I earned it. Well, he gave you the hands and the brain to do that. He ultimately is the provider, and he's doing so for a reason. And the reason is he wants your heart to change, to be like his, to be one of generosity, to produce a harvest. And he promises he'll actually increase your resources to continue to do that. So say, for example, we have chores at our house. I have four boys. My oldest is 8, and my youngest is 1.5, and the other two are in the middle. Okay, so at our house, we have chores, right? And we've made the decision not to, I don't have a regular allowance that I give my kids. They just are part of the family, and so they just help do chores, right? But if they want to earn some extra money, then we have, you know, they can do additional chores that are above and beyond kind of those normal things, all right? And the going rate in our house, all right, keep in mind my kids are young, all right? The going rate in my house is you get 25 cents if you do a chore. Now, they're excited about it, and I'm going to kind of hold on to it until maybe they're 12. We'll see. We'll see how long it goes, all right? There's not, you know, minimum wage in my house isn't a thing. But my kids have been like, you know, okay, you know, 25 cents, like they're excited about that. You know, and then, but my oldest Hero was like, well, we lived with friends, all right? And my oldest was like, well, Hannah, the family we live with, she pays more. And I said, well, you can go talk to Hannah. You're welcome to do chores for her. But the wage in this family is 25 cents a chore, all right? And so, you know, they can shop around for a better job. That's fine. But 25 cents. So the reality is, though, I want to take a little snapshot. Maybe it's been a while since, you know, your kids have been 8, all right? So my oldest, who's 8, his personality is just intense. Everything he does is just kind of intense. That's just how he rolls, all right? So doing the dishes, for example, is a chore that he can earn some extra money if he wants to do the dishes. When he does the dishes, though, he puts those glasses away with vigor and with force and often breaks one. All right? Now, I can tell you that glass costs more than 25 cents. So every time he does the dishes, it actually costs me money to pay him. All right? It is not worth the amount of money that I'm paying him. All right? Why would I keep doing that? Why would I keep paying my son to do a job that honestly he does terribly and it costs me less if I did it myself? Why? What am I investing in? I'm investing in him. I'm investing in my son. I want him to be a person of character who understands the value of hard work, who understands that money doesn't just fall off on trees. He's not going to come into a giant inheritance from me. All right? I'll do my best. I'm investing in VHS tapes. I heard it has good returns. All right? I'm investing in my son's character. I want him to be a person who understands that value, and that's exactly what our Heavenly Father is doing with you and me. He's giving us resources of all kinds, not just money, right? And he's investing in our character, trying to reap a harvest of generosity. Will you be like me? Will you grow up and be like my son Jesus, who is generous, who is kind, who is loving, who will give freely and with joy and excitement and cheerfully? God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need the resources that he's giving you. He paves the streets with gold. Probably just to prove that point. I got plenty of resources. I don't need yours. All right, just like I don't need the 25 cents I'm giving my son. That's not going to break the bank if I give my son 25 cents and it costs me a glass. Right? God doesn't need the resources. He's investing in that, and he wants to grow that in that. And so my question is, how are we doing? How are you doing with that? And are we managing our resources in a way that God would be honored by that? Or are we wrestling with this, I don't have enough money to be generous, God. I don't have enough resources, you know, to start. And I think the reality is we all just need to take a step and start somewhere and say, no, there are resources I have, whether it be financial or something else, that I can trust and I can move into mirroring my Heavenly Father and reflecting his glory and say, no, God, I want to be generous like you. And we can't say, well, I got to hold my budget so tightly and I got to hold the reins so tightly that I can't be generous and do that in the name of being a good steward, because that's not why God invested the resources for you and me. And so we can trust God at his word. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8 says this: you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Did you get that? That verse is nuts. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. All you need. Not some, not a little bit, not most of it. All you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That verse is nuts. What if we actually trusted that? How would that change things in our life? If I knew with absolute certainty and I believed God is going to meet my needs. Now, there may be wants that I have, and he's saying, hey, yes, I want to bless you in that. There may be wants I have, and he says, well, not right now. But all my needs are being met, so much so that he wants to provide extra. Why? Because he wants us to be generous. Because he wants us to be like him. God was exceptionally generous when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and paid a debt. We were all in debt, had this debt of sin, all of us sinners, and we couldn't repay it. It was too much. And Jesus sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. That's the kind of generosity that we are called to imitate. So with all this in mind, I want to close this series with a kind of a quick review and then a challenge, all right? So here's some things that Dave Ramsey shared about how to biblically manage our money, all right? The first one is this: get out of debt. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, the borrower is slave to the lender. Matthew 6, 24 says, no one can serve two masters. Get out of debt. So much of this world, specifically the United States, is overwhelmed by debt. Credit card debt or college debt or car debt or any kind of debt. And we need to get out of it because I can't be a good steward of God's resources if my resources are already allocated somewhere else. Right? If they have, that's the idea behind this. There's two masters, right? Second one, live on less than you make. Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are choice stores of food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. And 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. How hard is it to be content and to live on less than we have? Like I said, when we get a raise, it just all goes out the door. How do we live on less than what we make? It takes discipline. It takes practice. All right, next. Get on a budget. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. All right. Do you have a budget? Are you maintaining a regular budget? And are you doing so with the agreement of your spouse if you're married? All right, or with your significant other? Right? Are you honoring that? Because the reality is, we all know it's hard enough to be disciplined ourselves and to keep that budget, and then it's even harder when you have other people that are also spending that money. Right? We all have areas we need to grow. For me, I'm more of a nickel and dime the budget. You know, it's like, oh, I'm gonna go, you know, grab some food, or I'm gonna grab a drink, and then I look at the end of the month and I'm like, man, I did that a lot. Those coffees really add up, right? The $5, you know what I'm talking about? Going to Starbucks, the $5 every time you go, just boop, it's gone. Right? My wife, on the other hand, she's more of a, you know, kind of blow the whole budget immediately. Go to Ben Franklin or Hobby Lobby and just poof, it's gone. All right? Well, we both need to grow. It just looks different. All right? We need to get on a budget. We need to stay on a budget. We need to manage it well. We need to actually look at it before we make our purchases. You know, it's great to be like, look, I made this budget, and then never look at it and just make your purchases and be like, look, I didn't stay on that budget I made. All right? We have to actually hold on to it. Next. Save and invest. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. All right, do you have any sort of savings? Are you saving each month? Do you have an emergency fund? All right, if you lost your job tomorrow, what plan would you have? All right, are we planning for the future? And then five, give. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Responding in generosity. All right, so each of these principles are ways that we can manage, that we can biblically manage God's resources that he's given us, all right? And the great part about this is if you know, all right, the Bible, all of this is wisdom for your good and my good. None of this is going to harm you, right? God's heart with this is one of, I love you, you're my children, I've blessed you with these resources, and if you do these things, you will reap benefits, you will be blessed from them. And so at the beginning of this series, I asked the question. I said, how are you guys doing with money? Is anybody in here crushing it? All right? And there was one hand that was raised. All right? There was one hand. Russ in the back is the personal financial advisor. He's crushing it. If you need help, go talk to him. All right? But maybe for the rest of us, we could use a little help. We could use some work. All right? Another way to ask that question, though, is, are you managing God's resources well and in his interest? All right, so every dollar that you spend, are you going, okay, God, this is yours. What do you want to do with it? If God looked at your budget, would he go, yes, that is a great budget. This one's doing great. Right? He's honoring me with the resources I've given him. Or are there some changes that need to be made? I don't know about you, but that really challenges me to think about, okay, God, how am I honoring you with the resources that you've entrusted with me, and how am I growing this seed of generosity that's been planted? And there is it's a challenge to grow into, and money is such a huge part of our lives that I think the reality is a couple of videos from Dave Ramsey, while incredibly helpful and transformational, probably won't secure us for the next year, right? I don't know about you, but every time, we've had a budget our entire married life, and every time, about a month in, we kind of slack a little bit. About 90 days in, we're like, yeah, that budget thing, it's kind of important. We should probably do, you know, and then we'll go and we'll do a review, and then we kind of start over, and, you know, and then it's kind of this online, this process that keeps happening, right? We need to constantly review. And it seems to be about 30 and 90 days where I need that refresher, right? Okay, I need some help to stay focused. Dave Ramsey described it this way. He says, winning with money or managing money is about 20% knowledge and about 80% behavior, right? That's really the hard part. Most of us know the right things to do. We just don't do them. And that's probably true about most of the things in our life. But I've learned that managing our behavior without changing our beliefs usually isn't very fruitful, right? It's hard to just white knuckle it. And I don't know about you, but probably with your budget and your finances, you're like me. I've tried to white knuckle it a lot, and it works for a little while. But is there lasting change? Is there lasting transformation if our hearts and our belief hasn't changed? Well, at the core of all of this, at the core of this entire discussion and financial discussion, I said, right, greed's not a financial issue, it's a heart issue. But what do I truly believe about what God's word says? What do I truly believe God's character is for you and me? Do I trust that ultimately he is my ultimate provider? And do I trust that his greatest purpose with the resources he's given me is to grow a harvest of generosity? Do I trust him enough to press into that? To take some steps and say, yes, Jesus, I want to respond with the same kind of generosity you have offered me. And I want to press into that. All right, so here's this. To make a step, I think my prayer is that we'll step out in faith. And when we step out in faith and we make a decision not only to change something, but we make a decision to trust in faith, that's where heart change can come from. If we say, okay, God, I'm going to hold you at your word. I'm going to hold you at what you said, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to take action based on that. And so I want to make an invitation and a challenge to everyone here. Whether it's your first time here or you've been coming here for 10 years, doesn't matter. This is a challenge that I promise will benefit you if you hold to it. All right? And here's the challenge. In your bulletin, go ahead and open it up. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. You'll find this financial commitment form. All right? It looks like this. All right, go ahead and grab it. Pull it out now. If you need one, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. I'm going to go through it. All right, what this is, it says, I commit to honor God with my finances by committing to do the following. All right, now here's what the challenge is. I want you to look down, and we're going to read through them in a second. I want you to mark one, and then put your name, phone, and email on it, and then there's a box in the back where you can drop it. All right, now you go, why would I do that? Well, here's why. Because if you're like me, in about 30 days or 90 days, everything that we just learned from Dave Ramsey and looked at in God's word is, it's going to be gone, all right? And that's probably about the time, at least where I am going to need a reminder or some help to say, okay, I set this goal and I want to move forward. And so we as a leadership team, all right, are inviting you to join us in this challenge. And so what we're going to do is if you write down one of these things, we're going to call you or contact you. One of the leaders will contact you in 30 days and then again in 90 days, all right? And this isn't a, oh man, you messed up. You fell off the bandwagon. Get back on the budget. Get to work. No, this is a, hey, we know this is hard. How can we pray for you? How can we support you? Are there other resources we can offer? You know, and this is a friendly encouragement to say, hey, we all need some accountability. We all need somebody to walk with us to help us make some progress. This is for your good. You will benefit from it. I'm filling one out myself. All right, and the goal of this is let's grow as a community, all right, and so that we're not, as follower of Christ, we serve a generous God, and he wants to provide for us, and he wants us to actually be successful with resources. He has your blessing and your good in mind, and so as a community that loves Jesus Christ and follows him, we should be honoring him with our resources, And it should be a value to be successful with resources. So what I want you to do is go ahead right now and look at this. The first one is eliminate my debt. All right, now in 30 days or 90 days, you probably won't be out of debt unless you are just, you know, there's just barely a little bit of debt, all right? But, all right, so most of it, you might be like, well, I need about 90 months to get out of debt, all right? So, but set a goal and work on it, all right? The expectation isn't that you've completed it. This is a process. We're growing together, all right? Next one, tithe. Tithe actually means 10%. Are we giving? Are we honoring God with the resources he's given us? Next one, regularly save. Are you saving anything? Right? Is your budget set up in such a way that you can actually save something? The next one is, do you have an emergency fund? All right? If you don't have any savings at all, start there. All right? Start trying to save up $1,000. All right? And this will help you stay off of those credit cards. All right? Because inevitably something's going to break, and so this is an opportunity to step into that. Next one, maintain a regular budget. All right? And agree on it with your spouse. Lastly is give generously with this resource, time, talent, skill, physical resource, whatever it is, right? If God's given you something that you can offer, that you can share with other people, step into that. Last one is for the rest of the world. The above are already part of my life, and so I'll pray about mentoring someone else. If you are crushing it, all right, would you help? Would you help? I know I need help. Would you help pray for this community and help people walk in that? Would you take a moment to fill that out, be brave, and let's step into this together. While you're doing that, I want to just share some ways that people have been generous just in this community. And I just want to say thank you. Not that they necessarily need it or looking for it, but I just want to say thank you to that. And just kind of give you some ideas of some ways that we can all step into this harvest of generosity. The first one is housing. Thank you, Hannah and Jamie, for letting my family live with you guys for 9 months. Outrageously generous. So many people are generous with their... Paul and Judy Hansen have a bunch of houses that they let... the Maderas have housed, I think, 3 different exchange students this last year. And the Schuberts have people living in their house. And I know many of you have amazing resources that you're lending out to other people. Thank you for being generous in that way. That's a great way. And how meaningful. And I can say that personally. How meaningful that has been for my family. Another one... is vehicles. All right, raise your hand if you recognize these keys. All right, so these are actually Russ's keys that I stole from the sound booth. He doesn't know that, but last service, I had his truck keys. All right, they loaned out their truck. We just used it for moving. All right, in between service, they stole my prop because they loaned it out again. So I stole his other keys. So his other cars are available if you want them. But Debbie Page loans out her truck, and so many people are generous with their vehicles. The Ulriches have loaned out their van numerous times. And so maybe a vehicle is a way that you can bless somebody if you have one lying around. Making meals for people or being generous. Gleaning is a ministry that goes on every week on Mondays in the afternoon, and that's all just food that's being given away. Maybe you love to cook and you want to just bless somebody. A huge way to be generous. I mean, is there anything better than coming home to like a cooked meal that somebody else made? I don't think so. I think that's like way up there, at least for me personally. All right. The last one is tools. Tools or talents or skills. How many of you ever loaned a tool out and then it came back, you know, like a little rusted or damaged and you're like, oh, it drives me crazy. Right? That's God working on your heart right there. He's done it to me a lot of times, all right? But being generous with time and with resources, and thank you, Chuck, for coming in and serving here, and Ken Sandin, who's done a lot of maintenance here at the church, and so many more people that are coming and giving of their time and their resources. So if you have a time or a time or you have a talent or a skill that could be beneficial or even some tools to help make that happen, those are great ways where you can commit to stepping into this and saying, okay, Lord, I'm gonna step out in a way to allow you to grow this seed of generosity in me. I want to invite Star Hansen up here just to share a little bit of her story and how God has been using some of this material for her.
Hello. So though Jeff and I have been on a budget most of our married life, when Jeff came to me freshly excited, wanting to be disciplined and implementing a budget, I was like, oh yeah, that's the tricky part. Being disciplined and implementing it. My response was, yes, I want to be in on that. But I also was a little bit nervous because God's been doing a fresh work in my heart. And I was like, okay, yes, but I don't want to lose the generosity that's been starting to be freed up in me. I want and need that balance of discipline and having a generous heart. So that's what I'm currently walking in. We've always tithed, and we always give a portion of our money into missions, and we love to give. So it's not about that. The area that's hard for me is those other designated areas that I have discretion in how I use it, and that's mine. Well, it's not really mine, but that's how I see it. That's my money. The other money I set aside, and that it goes to that. Oh, yeah, I can release that. But those other areas that I get to decide in can be a little harder for me. And for a long time, I've been stuck in a poverty mentality, that mentality of lack, not abundance, and not recognizing that I am the daughter of a king. I'm actually not limited, but I often limit myself. Or, because I'm stuck in that mentality, I will exclude myself or exclude others, including my children, from things, or just in my thinking, the way that I talk. Let's say I have, here's just an illustration. Let's say I have $30 set aside for eating out. And I go out several times. Let's say I go out several times out to coffee with a friend. Well, usually I won't get anything to drink for myself. Sometimes it's because I just want to drink water. I already had a cup of tea before I left the house or whatever. Other times, I kind of want something, but I'm just like, no, there's not enough. I'm not going to do that. More important, I just want to spend time with this person. And sometimes that's the case, and sometimes I'm excluding myself. It's also very rare that I would offer to buy someone else's drink because there's not enough. There's not enough to go around. And so I want to hold on to it. I want to use that money for something else that maybe I'll do together later with my family or whatever that looks like. And so, not that there's an obligation to always buy someone else's drink or an obligation to get something for myself, but what I don't like is that mentality, that mental game that goes on inside of me that says there's not enough. Thankfully, that's been changing. I've been watching the videos along with everybody else and also studying God's word and reading another book that I've been reading with some friends that's really helping to change my mentality, get a different mindset. A couple months ago, Jeff and I went to the pastor's conference at Cannon Beach, and before I even saw her, I was thinking about one of the wives and how several years previous, before she even knew me, and it was in a totally different setting, she gave me $50 for Jeff and I to go out. And I was like, wow. I think it spoke to me even more because she was a pastor's wife, and they have a big family. She has lots of kids, and that she would do that was a huge example to me of her not living in that mentality. So while at that conference, I had an idea pop in my head to invite some friends, another couple, out to go to ice cream with us, our treat. Now, this might sound like a very small thing for most of you and like, yeah, big deal, Star. I do it all the time. Well, it was a big deal to me because it released something in me that goes, no, I can't. I didn't squelch the idea when it came up. And they did join us, and we had a fabulous visit, and I was giddy excited to be able to do that. I've started to recognize that those ideas and those inspirations that pop into my mind are actually the Holy Spirit prompting me. So instead of saying, oh, we can't do that, or I can't do that, I've started to be more responsive to his generous nature arising up in me. To get flowers, and that might look like a couple different ways, but maybe it's getting flowers for a friend or helping plan a party or opening up my home or making a meal. God has been opening my heart to be more disciplined, giving freely, and walking with him, trusting him as my generous father.
Thank you, Star. I love just Star's perspective of beginning to invite God to change her heart, you know, as she steps into changing behavior, but ultimately inviting God to change your heart. So as you practice biblical principles with the resources God has given you, I pray that God will bless you immensely so that you can give generously and that we can all respond in such a way to honor God with our finances. And I'm confident that as we take steps together as a community, that we're not only honoring God in that, but you're going to be blessed yourselves. And so I hope that we can continue to hold each other accountable as we move towards being faithful with the resources God has given us. Let's worship together.